Hey, hey! Welcome, welcome, welcome to Generation Rise, the podcast with Marcus Bell. Thank you so much, Rise family, for coming in and checking me out today. I always appreciate your time and attention. Listen, Rise family, we are into the next installment of the re-season series that we started in 2024. What are the things that we need to do again to get to where we're supposed to be, to get to what our dream is, to get to our destiny, to get to the things that we want, the things that we need? The new word that I have for you today, Rise family, is refine. Refine. So first, let me tell you what fine means, and we can talk about Fine means of high quality. And the word refine means removes the impurities or unwanted elements for something, or to improve something by making small changes. So we are talking about what are the things that we need to do again. What do we need to do again in our lives to make us of a high quality or make us of a higher quality by removing the impurities or unwanted elements from something or us to make the changes that are necessary in us to be what we're supposed to be. There's a scripture in the Bible, Isaiah 48:10, that says, "I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering." And I'm sure much of my Rise family has heard in some form or another, particularly if you're an athlete or an entertainer or you're in school, that there is a process to get to the things that you want. It doesn't happen from today to tomorrow. It's not really an overnight success type of a thing. There is a process that goes into getting to where you want to go. And my question is, Rise family, do you have the capacity? Do you have the boldness? Do you have the energy? Do you have the discipline to go through your process to get to where you want to go, to get to your dream, your destiny? Let me talk about what the process is for refining silver to connect to the scripture that I gave you. So the process of refining silver involves an intense process that melts the metal, that requires the minerals in that metal, in the silver ore, to turn into liquid. And then in that liquid state, the incompatible impurities from the silver ore float to the top so that it can be scraped off, and then you'll be left with just pure silver. Okay? So that, again, that says that you have to go through something. You have to go through the heat. You have to go through an intense heat, an intense process sometimes, so that the things that are impure are forced out. And then after all that, the thing about silver is that after that, it has to cool, and then it still has to be shaped, right? So even after you go through the process, even after you strip the silver of the impurities, that the silver itself has not reached its true value. In fact, even after the liquid silver cools, it still does not attain its true value. It is not until the silver is in the hands of a silversmith or is connected to the right source that knows how to manipulate that silver that it is able to be shaped and molded into something that would allow it to reflect and attain the true beauty and its true practical value. Up until silver is connected to the right hands, connected to the right source, its value is only based on the potential of what it could be. And just like silver, we as people have to go through the refining process at times. And sometimes it happens multiple times. And just as the scripture says I have refined you in the furnace of suffering, which means that in some ways we should expect to suffer. We should expect that there is going to be hard times in the process. There are going to be challenges in the process. There are going to be things that you're going to have to be uncomfortable in the process, and you have to go through the heat so that the things that are impure within us, the things that need to change within us, the toxic things, the things that we need to address and identify, that those things are forced to the surface to be seen so that they can be addressed, and hopefully those things can be driven out of us. Now, what I want you to understand, Rise family, is that when I say suffering, suffering does not necessarily have to be the extreme. It doesn't necessarily have to be an extreme illness, or it doesn't necessarily have to be an extreme hardness or poverty. Suffering is really just about going through something hard, going through a difficult time, going through something that makes you uncomfortable. There are times that we allow things to attach to us that we don't even know. That could be negative energy. That could be negative people. That could be improper thoughts or bad ideas or habits that are gained from things that we allow in our space, things that we think are innocent, things that we think are harmless, things that we think are funny. But the more that we let the things that are not supposed to be in our space around us, they attach to us. And then those things have ways of altering our thought processes, of altering the way that we move, the way that we respond to situations, the way that we make our decisions. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very conscious of the things that we allow around us that may be altering our moods and altering the way that we handle our business and go about the things that we go about. And the refining process or those situations that we get put into are a part of the process of making us the best version of ourselves, of making us understand that in certain environments we respond in certain ways, so we may not want to allow ourselves to be in those environments. We may not want to allow ourselves to go through that particular space so that we don't put ourselves in a bad situation. And knowing the fact that we will at some point be challenged, we will have to go through difficult situations, or we will have to be refined in the furnace of suffering, we should not just look to jump out of the suffering or find a quick way out of the suffering, find a quick way out of the process or the uncomfortable situations, the difficult situations that we're in. We actually should just look for ways to persevere through the suffering, persevere through the uncomfortable situations, persevere through the heat and the pain. And when we persevere through those things, then we know what's on the other side of it. We know that there will be added value from the lessons that we've learned in that suffering, the lessons that we learned in that process, the lessons that we learned in the uncomfortable positions that we end up being placed into. However, when we find our way out of that suffering, or we find a quick way to get out of the uncomfortable situations that we are in, and we just find a way to remove that burden, what's going to happen is the things that are within us that are actually supposed to be getting processed out of us, that are supposed to be coming to the surface and to get addressed, those things are only going to grow. Those negative things, those things inside of us that we allow to operate within us, those things grow and they manifest in different ways. And then ultimately, we're going to have to go through another refining process just to pull out those things that we probably should have already addressed in different situations. You know, there's a way of things, of lessons that are not learned coming around and having to be retaught. It's no difference than being in school when you go through a math assignment and you fail the test. You have to go back through the process most of the times of relearning that lesson so that you can pass the test before you can move on. And it's the same thing when we're chasing our dreams and we're chasing our destiny and we're chasing our goals and the things that we want. If we don't learn the necessary lessons that are essential for our success, and that we're going to have to be retaught those lessons until we learn them so that we can grow past them and get to the next level and whatever it is that we want. Because ultimately, it is in the suffering, it is in the failure, the losses, the disappointments that our true weaknesses are revealed. And we are forced with a decision. We are faced with a decision at those times of failure and disappointment and hardship and suffering. We have a decision that we can either strengthen those weaknesses or remove the things in us that are not going to be suitable for us moving forward, whether that be people or whether that be drugs, alcohol, or things that may distract us from where we want to go. We have to face if we're going to strengthen those weaknesses, and if we're going to discard those impurities, we're going to correct those behaviors, if we're going to clear up those thoughts, if we're going to put in the extra effort and the things that are needed, the sacrifices and the investments that are needed to get to the next level. And if we choose to embrace the process and be faithful in the process, then when we are finally taken out of the furnace, when we are finally taken out of that suffering, when we are finally taken out of the heat, we will be shaped into something that is new, something that is stronger, something that has been tested, and ultimately something that is more valuable than just the sheer potential that we have that's inside of us. You know, I want you to think about how music impacts us. Music has a way of setting the mood, the energy of whatever it is that we are embarking upon. You know, I've heard it said that music is kind of the soundtrack to life. And in some ways, I think that's true. Because I think back to when I was in high school and college, and when I wanted to prepare for, I wrestled in high school and played football and baseball. And when I wanted to prepare for competition, there was a certain type of music that I would listen to help set the energy or to help set the mood for what I was going into, the battle that I was going into. So it was oftentimes a lot of the hip hop music that had the bass and the energy and the aggression in the rapping, and those type of things would get me to a certain level where when I stepped onto the mat, I was ready to go out there and compete with a ferociousness, with a aggression, with an energy that was needed to go out and compete at that time. And when I met my wife and I wanted to show her a good time, and I wanted to show her the romantic side to a certain extent, then that music choice would change, and it may be a little bit more R&B or something a little bit more soulful. When I want to connect with God on a different level, or if I want to bring him praise and I want to get into a posture of worship, then there's a gospel music, or there is a Christian music that I listen to get my spirit connected to where I want to be. When I just want to zone out and I want to let my mind go, it may be a jazz or a Duke Ellington type of a deal where the music is a little bit more melodic, or the music has a way of changing our mood, changing our energy. Now, the thing that I want my Rise family to be careful with when we're setting the music to be the soundtrack to our life in a certain extent is not getting so caught up into the music that the lyrics that we are allowing to constantly hit into our spirit and hit into our head adjust the way that we make our decisions. So if we are constantly listening to hip-hop music or rock music or whatever it is, punk rock or grunge or whatever the type of music is your taste and that speaks to you, if we're constantly listening to the music that degrades women, or it talks about drug culture, or it talks about violence, or it talks about guns and drugs and everything else, if that's all that we are allowing to enter into our spirit, if we're only listening to music that talks about money and it talks about, you know, the cars and the jewelry, if that's all we're listening to, then that starts to shape the way that we think about those things. And the things that we want, the things that we see value in, the things that we chase after is going to reflect the things that are in that music. So it will reflect how we deal with a difficult conversation when we're out at a party and somebody steps on your shoes. Are you going to be able to handle that situation with a certain grace to say that it's not that big of a deal? Or are we going to see the scuff on our shoe and now it's time to fight, which may escalate into something that is bigger, that is life altering to the people that are involved? So we have to be very careful of the things that we are allowing into our space, whether that be music or people or whatever else that may be. We have to be able to identify when things are getting too toxic, when things are getting to a point where they are controlling our thought processes and it gets beyond the entertainment of what the music is really supposed to be. To switch gears, I think about Usain Bolt. Now, if you don't know about Usain Bolt, Usain Bolt is arguably the best sprint track athlete in history, ever. He's a Jamaican sprinter that his resume reads gold, 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 gold on every level, pretty much. In the Olympics, he dominated the gold. He dominated the 100 and the 200 for years. He has a ton of gold medals. But what's interesting about Usain Bolt is that even he had to go through the furnace. You know, it is a hard process to be able to get your sprint time down to the point where you are running a sub 10 second 100 meter dash, right? There is a process, a long process in that. And Usain Bolt is quoted as to saying, this is what he said. He said, "I trained 4 years to run 9 seconds. I trained 4 years to run 9 seconds. Now think about that. Think about every day getting up, going to training for hours, weightlifting, stretching, sprinting, doing all the physical things to get yourself ready for competition, doing the mental and the spiritual things to get yourself ready for competition, the sacrifices from family, the sacrifices from some of the things that we like to do to hang out and to relax, all of those things that go into preparing for competition. And then when you get in those blocks, your race lasts for 10 seconds or 20 seconds. Your moment of glory is more fleeting than some other athletes, some other sports. It's the preliminary round, the semifinals, the finals. You may be running 3 or 4 races in the 100 meters, and your total competition time on the track is less than a minute. So he trains years and years and years, and there's a 4-year gap in between each Olympic cycle. So he trained 4 years to run 9 seconds or to run less than 10 seconds complete in the 100 meter competition. Think about what that process is like, the heat in that process, because let's be clear, track is a summer sport. Outdoor track is a spring and summer sport. So you're in the heat. You're in the fire. You're sweating. You are doing what needs to be done to get to your dream, your goal, and your destiny. And he did this for years and years and years. But the other part that I want my Rise family to hear from his quote is that he said, I trained 4 years to run 9 seconds. And people give up when they don't see results in 2 months. Rise family, what I can tell you is that your process may not be a quick process to get to where you want to go. Oftentimes, the greats, the people that are exceptional, the people that separate themselves from the pack, the people that go on to do the extraordinary things that are above and beyond what other people are able to do, their processes are not short. It's not a week process, a month process. It may not be a couple of months process. It may be a few years process. Are you willing to put in 5 years before you see the success? Are you willing to put in 10 years before you see the success and the financial rewards or the gains that you think you want? Not everybody's process is the same. So for everybody that looks like they are a flash in the pan and this happened overnight, for most of those people, that overnight success was 10 years behind the scenes of nobody seeing and nobody watching and nobody understanding why they're not doing what everybody else is doing. They had to go through a refining process to figure out what worked for them, and they had to be shaped and they had to be molded to position them for where they wanted to go, for what they were supposed to do, for how they were supposed to do it so that they could stand out from the crowd. You know, I've said it before, and Bishop T.D. Jakes said it, you cannot fit in and stand out at the same time. So if you want to stand out, you have to be different. You have to do things different. You have to have a different process that will separate you from everybody else, that will make you be set apart from what everybody else is doing. Even if you're doing a similar thing, what you do will stand out and resonate with people in a different way, which will make you more attractive than everybody else, which will make you more valuable than anybody else. Listen, Rise family, thank you so much for coming in and spending time with me today. I want to encourage you that if you are in your refining process, if you are currently being refined, stick with it and push through it. Persevere through it. Because on the other side, when you look back at the person that went through that process, that fought through that process, you will see a difference in yourself. You will see a growth in yourself. Don't just try to find your way out. Don't just try to find an easy way to get out of it or get through it. Embrace the process, embrace the pain, embrace the things that you're going through, embrace the fire, embrace the heat, because on the other side of that, you will have a pureness to you that will be able to be shaped, that will be able to be molded, that will be able to be shined, and that will be able to be valuable beyond what you know. Thank you so much, Rise family. I always love you. I always appreciate you. Thank you. God bless you. I love you. Now go be great.